الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وعليكم السلام. We were all praises due to Allah, and may Allah exalt the mention of the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. We begin with the tafsir of Shaykh Sa'di rahimahullah, and we are currently in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 131, I believe. I will repeat the verses which we read last time, just in case someone will listen to this particular dars and not the previous one. عليكم السلام. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ومن يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه ولقد اصطفيناه في الدنيا وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين. إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين. ووصى بها إبراهيم بنيه ويعقوب ويعقوب يا بني إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أم كنتم شهداء إذ حضر يعقوب الموت إذ قال لبنيه ما تعبدون من بعدي قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا ونحن له مسلمون. تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون. Verses 130 to 134 and the interpretation of the meaning in English, please. A volunteer with a loud voice.
And who turns away from the religion of Ibrahim? Except him who befalls himself. Truly, we choose him in this world and verily in the hereafter, he will be among the righteous. When his Lord said to him, submit, he said, I have submitted myself as Muslim to the Lord of the Alameen. And this submission to Allah in Islam was enjoined by Ibrahim upon his sons and by Yaqub. O my sons, Allah has chosen for you the true religion. Then die not except in the faith of Islam. Or were you witnesses when death approached Yaqub, when he said to his son, what will you worship after me? They said, we shall worship your faith. We shall worship your Ilah or God of your fathers, Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, one Ilah and to him we submit in Islam. That was a nation who was far passed away. They shall receive the reward of what they earned. And you, what you earn, and you will not be harmed of what they used to do.
Barakallah fiq. Tayyib, we already discussed the first verse, which is the one about the one who chooses a religion other than that of Abraham is one who has fooled himself and belittled himself and degraded himself, as it is the only religion acceptable in the sight of Allah, because it is the universal religion of all the prophets and messengers, which is submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and associating no partners with him thereof. So, anyone who does not follow this religion and winds up following a religion that directs one to worship the creation, to worship idols, to worship false gods, to worship angels, to worship prophets and messengers, to worship, you know, saints, any religion upon earth which forces its adherents to have a God other than God is then a religion of falsehood, and thus the followers are those who have degraded themselves. Because it is not befitting that the religion comes from God and then in the religion we worship other than God. This is the most common sense concept in the world. You were created by God, so you worship Him alone. Doesn't require a genius, a philosopher, a doctor, it doesn't require the average person, the average layman will understand that I should worship the one true God who is deserving of worship. And currently there's no religion upon earth which teaches that except Islam. And that is the religion of Jesus and Moses and Abraham and Adam and the rest of the prophets and the messengers. So the verse goes on to say, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ امْتِثَالًا لِرَبِّهِ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ إِخْلَاصًا وَتَوْحِيدًا وَمَحَبَّةً وَعِنَابَةً فَكَانَ التَّوْحِيدُ لِلَّهِ نَعْتُهُ. We actually did that, but we will repeat it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Abraham to submit, and he fulfilled the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he submitted himself to the Lord of everything. Al-alameen is everything. Ikhlasan, in sincerity, wa tawheedan, by unifying his worship to Allah, wa mahabbatan, love, inabatan, turning in repentance, wa fakana tawheedu lillahi na'tu. It was his description, it was the attribute of Abraham, his tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the strength of his tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thumma warradahu fi dhurriyatihi wa wassahum bih. وجعلها كلمة باقية في عقبه وتوارثت فيهم حتى وتوارثت فيهم حتى وصلت ليعقوب فوصى بها بنيه. Then he kind of, you know, ورث أو الإرث أو يورث is really in Arabic, in English is inheritance, that which you leave behind, huh, for the those who will inherit you. It has a particular name that I cannot recall right now. Nonetheless, Abraham, what he left behind for his children was not necessarily material, rather it was that faith, that faith. And he gave it as a covenant to his children, and he made it a word that would be permanent with them. And it was inherited by them, one generation after the other, until it made it to Jacob. Jacob, who also in return advised his children before he died that they shall also be upon the same faith, that of Abraham, that of Noah, that of Adam. فَأَنْتُمْ يَا بَنِي يَعْقُوبُ قَدْ وَصَّاكُمْ أَبُوكُمْ بِالْخُصُوصِ فَيَجِبُ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَالَ الْإِنْقِيَادِ وَاتِّبَاعَ خَاتَمَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Now who are the children of Jacob? The Jews. The Jews. So the Shaykh said now, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing them particularly, meaning, oh you children of Jacob, your father had given you this covenant, particularly, had given you this covenant, which you're supposed to be the first to fulfill. You are the ones who inherited that. You should be the leaders, the pioneers, in fulfilling this covenant given to you by your forefather, that is, you should remain upon Islam, remain upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, it is upon you to be the first to fulfill and to follow the seal of the Prophet. To follow the seal of the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فقال, يَا بَنِيَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ. He said to them, oh my children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for you this deen. Has chosen for you this deen. أَيَخْتَارَهُ وَتَغَيَّرَهُ لَكُمْ رَحْمَةً بِكُمْ. Meaning Allah chose it and made it the choice as means of mercy to you. عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. وَإِحْسَانًا إِلَيْكُمْ فَقُومُوا بِهِ وَاتَّصِفُوا بِشَرَائِعِهِ وَانْصَبِغُوا بِأَخْلَاقِهِ حَتَّى تَسْتَمِرُوا عَلَى ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَأْتِيكُمُ الْمَوْتُ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ لِأَنَّ مَنْ عَاشَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ بُعِثَ عَلَيْهِ. So this was mercy from Allah to you and goodness from Allah to you. So then establish that religion and be among its adherents and fulfill its commandments and obligations, you know, the various rites of Islam. And يعني انصبغوا, الصبغ is when you dye something. You know, when you dye your hair red or you dye your clothes or something where the color encompasses the thing. So انصبغوا بأخلاق, meaning dye yourself, huh, with the character, with the moral of Islam. يعني become one and one, as merging the two things together. Until you remain consistent upon that, and you do not, death does not come upon you except while you are in this particular condition. The Shaykh said, because verily whomever lives upon something, he will die upon it. Very often, a person who's a drunkard, you know, a person who gets drunk all the time, very often, most likely, he will die drunk. And a person who smokes, he will die smoking. And a person who gets high, he will die overdosing while high. And a person who drives a lot, he'll probably die in a car accident.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Hey, so if you, you know, you do something a lot, the chances of you dying in this particular fashion are higher because you're very often doing that thing. So whomever lives according to something, he will probably die upon it. And whomever dies upon something will be resurrected upon it. And this is the other sensitive part. That you die in this fashion, but you will also be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in this same fashion. So, when during the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ, during the pilgrimage to Mecca, when one of the companions, his camel overthrew him to the ground and stumped him, and he died. The Prophet ﷺ said, do not shower him, do not wash him, just cover him with this ihram that he was wearing. Huh? He said, verily, he will resurrect on the Day of Judgment from his grave doing talbiyah. Saying, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Here I am, O Allah, here I am. Here I am, have no partner. He died in the state of ihram, doing talbiyah. He will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in the same fashion. Someone who died fornicating will similarly rise in this fashion, and so on. So you know, that is an indication how the rest is going to be. If you are resurrected in a bad condition, that means what would be coming after is not very promising. You know, so Allah musta'an. We should ensure that we have a good end. We leave this life upon an active worship, upon doing good, and not the other way around. ولما كان اليهود يزعمون أنهم على ملة إبراهيم ومن بعده يعقوب قال تعالى منكرا عليهم أم كنتم شهداء أي حضورا إذ حضر يعقوب الموت أي مقدماته وأسبابه فقال لبنيه على وجه الاختبار ولتقر عينه في حياته بامتثالهم ما وصاهم به ما تعبدون من بعدي والنجوز. The Jews claim that they are upon the way of life, upon the religion of Ibrahim. And then they say that they were following Jacob also after him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as a refutation to them, refuting them, were you witnesses, were you present, when Yaqub started to reach the moments of death, when his soul was about to leave? And you know, there's a, if someone is reciting a Sayyid Ma'alis, if you could recite later, please. We can hear buzzing in the background.
Where are your witness? In death?
No, Abdul Aziz.
No,
I can't. No, there was someone reciting in a low voice. I was telling Zakla, you seem excited today. Alhamdulillah. No problem, sir. No problem. You read the next verse, inshallah. So anyways, so were you witnesses when Jacob was about to depart from this life, and then he told his children to, as means of testing them, to for ensuring, huh? And also for him to be pleased, to be content before he leaves, that his children had actually obeyed his command and fulfilled this covenant. So he said, what will you worship after me? What will you worship after me? فَأَجَبُوا بِمَا قَرَتْ بِهِ عَيْنُهُ. So they told him that which is pleasing to him. فَقَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. This is fundamental. We will worship your Lord and the Lord of your forefathers. وَعَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ. Abraham and Ismail and Isaac, Ishaq. Huh? إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. One God. And this is very important, because the principle is, you do not follow the religion of your forefathers. This is not an excuse, huh? It is not an excuse for you, but because your parents were Hindus, so you say that I must be a Hindu, even if the religion is wrong. Say, why are you Hindu still? Say, my forefathers are Hindus, then I just follow the religion of my forefathers. Whatever they were worshipping, I worship. This is actually blameworthy. This is blameworthy, this is no good. And Allah criticizes people in the Quran many times. Many times. Those who, whenever they are confronted with the truth, they say, Wallah, I follow whatever my forefathers were doing. This is unacceptable. And you know, I've mentioned to you a Christian who made this particular statement. You know, I asked this lady in one of the lectures who had some opinions to mention to us. I said, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? She said, yes. I said, then why do you pray? Why do you pray? She said, because my mother and father taught me when I'm from a young age that I should pray. I said, this is not an answer. I mean, I want you to get to, now of course, if your parents, you know, taught you something, you're going to do it, but this is not a theological or logical answer. What do you mean? Jesus died for your sins. What do you worship? What are you praying for? What's the point of praying? Somebody already paid for your bill. Huh? You want to have breakfast? Somebody paid for your bill. You're standing there with the cashier negotiating. No, yes, you don't understand. If someone paid for your bill, ruh, imshi. Khalas. Huh? That's what it is. Leave. Take a hike. We don't have other customers to deal with. No. I insist. Huh? We say to you, something's wrong with you, man. Next time you pay ahead of time, case closed. I'm telling you, someone paid for your bill, don't sit there negotiating. Jesus died for your sins. What do you want? What are you praying for? I mean, there are logical answers. She could have said something more logical. But just to show you that the only thing my parents told me before I sleep that I should pray, so I pray. So that we say, no, this is unacceptable. Whatever your forefathers were teaching you does not necessarily mean that this is the correct religion. So this is an exception to the rule, because only these prophets and messengers could have said that because they were following the true religion of Allah. That's why they said, إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا, one God. They were not, it wasn't sufficient to say we're following the religion of our forefathers, Abraham and whatever, you know. They didn't, that wasn't sufficient, because that's what every disbeliever said. But they had to add that which makes the distinction between theirs and the other religions. إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا, one God. One object of worship. One Lord, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this context, for them, this is acceptable. For everybody else who's not upon that religion, then no. So if your parents were Muslims, and somebody told you, well, you say, I follow the religion of my forefathers, worshipping Allah alone, no harm in that. Because it is worshipping Allah alone. You see what I'm saying? So then it becomes relevant to whether you are being, you are attributing yourself or ascribing yourself to the true religion or to a false religion. If you are doing it to a true religion and it happens to be the religion of your forefathers, no problem. But if it is a false religion, then this is blameworthy. And you are expected to seek the truth, and you're supposed to acquire faith and the correct religion, not inherit it. Because you cannot inherit religion. It's something that you cannot inherit. It's something that you must submit willingly, acquire in your life. You must come to an agreement with the teachings and accept them in your life and live according to them. This is the only way you could be a Muslim. Otherwise, your parents are Muslims and you're not practicing Islam, you're not a Muslim. You see what I'm saying? فَلَا نُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. So we associate none in worship with him after they said إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. وَلَا نَعْدِلُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. And we make none equal to him. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ فَجَمَعُوا بَيْنَ التَّوْحِيدِ وَالْعَمَلِ. And we are Muslims, and we to him are submitters. So the Shaykh said they combined both tawheed and deeds. See, they didn't say that we only believe, and they said وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, and we submit to him, which indicates that there are deeds that they must do, good deeds they do, and bad deeds that they avoid. وَمِنَ الْمَعْلُومِ أَنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَحْضَرُوا يَعْقُوبُ لِأَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يُجَدُوا بَعْدُ فَإِذَا لَمْ يَحْضُرُوا فَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ وَصَّ بَنِيهِ بِالْحَنِيفِيَّةِ لَا بِالْيَهُودِيَّةِ. The Shaykh said, and it is known that the children of Jacob were not there because they were not born yet. You know, the descendants, the Jews, they were not there yet. So they were not present, so then they couldn't have known this. So this is now information being given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is the covenant that Jacob gave to his children. We're talking about the children of the Israel, because it's from the descendants. We're not talking about his very children. Obviously the context is speaking about them. We're talking about those who came after them, alaykum as-salam. Then it shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them and advised them to follow the Hanif, which is basically one who is upon the straight path and who is away from the wrong path. One who follows the religion and truth and does not deviate is called Hanif. Ibrahim, he was a Hanif, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to have the Hanifiyya and not the Yahudiyya, not Judaism, not, you know, what they have today. Abraham didn't tell his children to be Jews, Jacob didn't tell his children to be Jews, you know, he did not make his brother, he tell them to be Muslims, submit to Allah. Because we said that one of the characteristics of the true religion is that it is universal and not local, even in the name. Universal, not local, in the name and in the teaching, in the salvation. Hinduism is after the Hindu river in India. Buddhism is after Buddha, localized. Judaism is after Judah, the tribe of Judah, localized. Christianity is after Christ, localized. Islam is after who? No one. It's a concept. It is not a name, huh? That is associated with a person or a place. It's a concept. Islam, anyone who submits to Allah from the time of Adam until the day of judgment, that's a religion. But when we say Buddhism, we say, okay, what was the religion of the people before Buddha? Hinduism, what was the religion before this river was discovered? Christianity, what was the belief system before Jesus? You know, we have a problem. When you say that the religion is named like that, and the teachings are based on this one individual, it all revolves around one individual, we have a big question mark, man. What about the millions of people who came before this brother? What was their belief system? Uh-huh. You tell this to you, the Christians. So you say that Jesus, believing in Jesus is the salvation, accepting Him as my personal Savior is the only way I will go to paradise? And how many years did Jesus come? How long ago? Around 2,000 some 10 years ago, with his age 33 years, yani more or less. Say, okay, fine. Were the people living before Jesus? Yeah. Billions, gazillions, whatever the largest number they discovered right now. For millions and billions of years. So what was their belief? What was their salvation? Jesus? How? He wasn't around. See, then they would have a problem. Then you say, this religion of God is yours, it's local, man. It changes, every day it changes. One day this is salvation, tomorrow this is salvation, then this one comes in salvation, the salvation continues to change, but we human beings are not changing. Where is justice with that? Where is justice when Jesus said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophet. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. He's saying that he is going to keep whatever was before him. You say that it was something else and when he came it became something else. So now you are lying and you are contradicting him. And you are bringing a new salvation which was not preached by Noah or Abraham or Moses or any of the prophets and messengers. And you challenge anyone to give you some verse where Trinity was being preached or the death of Jesus on the cross was the means of salvation. It's irrational because people lived before him, needed salvation before him. So you either say they're going to go to the hellfire because they didn't accept Jesus. We say this is not fair. Huh? He wasn't there. You say, okay, well, then let's do it the other way around. They would go to paradise because he wasn't there. That's not fair. Maybe they would have disbelieved in him. Right? Like the Jews. You know, they say, okay, because they came before Jesus, they would all go to paradise. That's not fair either. Maybe some of them would have disbelieved. So then you have no exit. I mean, you have no real answer, no satisfactory answer. So then we say that the religion of God then is universal. See, you don't have this problem with Islam. Because by name, it is not affiliated with a particular person or a place. It's not localized. It's universal. And by concept, if you believed in the oneness of Allah, and the angels of Allah, and the books of Allah, and the messengers that happened to be available during your time, and those who came before him, and you believed in the day of judgment, pure demon, pure Muslim, you have salvation. It doesn't matter whether you're a follower of Noah, or Ruth, or Abraham. It doesn't matter anymore. Because you fulfill the oneness of Allah and the following of the messengers, the respective messenger that was available. You see how simple that is? That's the only logical answer. Set aside textual evidence is logically, this is the only thing that satisfies one's soul. Otherwise, there's injustice. There's injustice. And so alhamdulillah, I hope this is understood, because this is a very sensitive aspect of da'wah that we must understand and convey during our da'wah expeditions. Because this is, usually people never think about this, Yaqi. This information, people never ever in their whole lives never think of it until you mention it to them. Then you wake them up, then they say, oh hold, I never thought of this before. You know? Seriously, what were the people before Jesus believing? Huh? Why is Christianity called Christianity after Christ? They will start thinking about things that usually they never thought of. And so you will be awakening them, bi-iznillah, perhaps when they start realizing that whatever they're in is not exactly the most correct thing on earth, you know, they will seek elsewhere. And they will not find any religion but Islam. No true religion will satisfy you except Islam. Has answers for everything. Everything is fair. Everything is just. Everyone is involved and included in the belief. There's no, you know, you believe in the one God. You worship the one God, the Creator. You believe in all of His messengers. No other religion has these characteristics. Everybody else tells you to lie and belie and deny. You want to become a Jew? You can't believe in Jesus anymore. And his mother becomes a fornicator. This is what the Jews say. Big problem. You want to become a Muslim? Hayat Allah. You continue to believe in Jesus. You were a Christian who believed in Jesus. You still want to believe in Jesus? The only religion that will allow you is Islam. Not allow you, force you. You can't be a Muslim unless you believe in Jesus. But you just have to make some modification, a little tasleeh. Take him from upstairs and put him where he belongs. That's all. You know, it's obvious for someone after they realize that they are upon falsehood, that the only truth is available in Islam. But it is my job and yours to propagate that. To take that out to the people, because very often they live their whole lives without ever taking 2 minutes of their life to ponder, am I upon the right religion? It's just they go to church, they do the same thing habitually. But they never really think, khalas, they think because we were born into this, then this must be the truth. Unless we wake them up. Alhamdulillah, you see the results. When somebody woke you up, you made that transition. You made the move. Because it was necessary that you make the move. Otherwise, you will be in danger. In this life and in the hereafter. So alhamdulillah, inshallah, I hope this be means of encouraging one to get involved in da'wah to the best of our ability, inshallah. ثم قال تعالى تلك أمة قد خلت أي مضت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم أي كل له عمله وكل سيجازى بما فعله ولا يؤخذ أحد بذنب أحد. Allah then Azza wa Jalla said, and that is a nation that has passed. It has what it will get what it has earned, and you will get what you have earned, more or less. Meaning each one has his deeds. Each one of these nations, they have their deeds, that which they have put forth. And each will be held accountable for his action. Each will be held accountable for his action. No one will be taken by the sin of another. And this is another aspect of da'wah that we have to understand when dealing with the Christians particularly. This conception of original sin, the sin that we inherited supposedly from our grandfather Adam and his wife Eve, that we were born into sin. It's original in the sense that it was done and continued to multiply as the human beings multiplied. Until it became, this is according to the Christian conception, until it became so big, the sin was so huge, that there was no way it could be forgiven, there's no way it could be eliminated unless some divine blood is shed. And then and only then, everybody's off the hook. Huh? So God had to go, according to them, through all these problems within himself, inability, lack of ability, unable to forgive for whatever reason. They say the loving God, the loving God, the loving Father in heaven. That's what they say all the time. The loving Father wasn't able to forgive. Why? Why wasn't he able to forgive Adam and Eve if they ate from the tree? Why? Why did he keep that sin on them? and then make their children inherit it, and have it multiply until his beloved son is killed. Why? No answer, because it doesn't make any sense. This is a fabrication. It's like a fantasy. You know, it's like an imagination. Based on imagination, nothing factual about this. Otherwise, we say, God, the concept is that each soul is responsible for its own sin. And actually, and I haven't memorized the verses yet, but I do suggest that we all get in touch with these verses in Ezekiel. Chapter 18, verses from actually 4 till maybe 11. And then read verse 20. The concept that says is, every soul that sins shall die. The Father, it says like this in the Bible, every soul that sins shall die. The Father shall not carry the sin of his son, and the son shall not carry the sin of his father. The righteousness of the righteous is for himself, and the wickedness of the wicked is for himself. Clear like the sun. Huh? The people don't, there's no such thing. And Jesus said that he didn't come to change the law. To change the law, this is from the Old Testament, supposedly the books of Moses, that they claim that Moses wrote. So that is the law that he was speaking about. And he said, I didn't come to change it. And then the verse continues to say, but if someone transgresses, and he lied, that does all this, but then turns away, he returns to God, he repents to God, then he shall live. This is verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 20. That if you turn to repentance to Allah, you ask forgiveness, you repent to Allah, then that soul shall live. Meaning Allah will accept the repentance. Now this is the teaching that is available in Islam, and it is what every prophet and messenger has been teaching. And not the other way around. Not that, you know, we inherit sin. It doesn't make sense that you inherit sin. It's not fair. It is not fair in any way, shape, or form that your father commits a crime, so they come to the house and arrest you. Huh? Say, come on, man, you're going to jail now. Say, what did I do? Say, you didn't do anything, your father did. What do I have to do with my father? Say, no, it is your father, you must inherit his sin. Say, okay, this is nonsense. This is nonsense. Your Honor. You know, you bring the lawyer. Who was the one who fought for O.J. Simpson? Huh? Some big lawyer. Say, you know, bring someone and get me out of here. This is nonsense. My father committed a crime. I was a good man, giving charity, helping the needy. What do you mean you're going to take me to jail? You're going to kill me because of the sin of my father. We say this is nonsensical, Yaqi. It doesn't make any sense. But people insist that this is the case. Adam, peace be upon him, committed a sin. So me and you are born into sin. According to this, if we want to use just the conception, this ideology, then every newborn who dies as a baby should go to the hellfire.
No.
Aywa! He was born with sin, no redemption. No, Jesus is a personal savior. He didn't accept him. So he should go to the hellfire. Because he was born into sin. We say, no. You are born free from sin. With the tendency to sin. Ha. We have Adam. We human beings, because we're the children of Adam, we have weakness, we have the tendency to sin. But we were not born in sin. We were born free from sin. So then, that teaching that is biblical and from the Old Testament is then, and there are other actually, there are other verses from the Bible which deal with this concept, the fact that, you know, each soul will be, as Allah says, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَزِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى, and no soul shall carry the burden of another. This is the same teaching that is found actually in the Bible, but again, where are the people who follow the Bible? They're not available anymore. People don't follow the Bible, they follow the priests and the different religious figures. And you know, they are the ones who direct them where to go, what to read, what not to read, what to discuss, what not to discuss. And they limit them to very limited information, all of it revolving around the God and the Son of God and Jesus the God and Jesus the Lord and all that. And they keep everything else aside. So the people don't ever get the chance to read, learn, educate themselves and think. If someone was to, for the sake of Allah, if someone happened to be reading the Bible and he came across these verses in Ezekiel, what is he going to think? He's going to say, hold on a second, man. This is not what they're teaching me. And this doesn't make any sense. What do you mean the father will not carry the sin of the son, and the son will not carry the sin of the father? Then why am I carrying the sin of Adam? And why do I have to have Jesus die for me? How is he going to carry my sin? See, because it works both way around. That means that you did not inherit the sin of Adam, and that means that Jesus cannot take away your sin. Because he cannot carry your burden. You must carry your burden. Allah gave you your own intellect, your own ability, your own means, your own facilitated everything for you to do good and to do bad. You will be held accountable for what you choose.
No.
Not someone else. Yani logical arguments that, you know, anyone who is seeking the truth, it would be easy, inshallah, to bring them over to the truth. But there are people who are stubborn, wicked, arrogant. They don't understand, and they do not want to understand. And they always try to find a loophole to exit. You tell him about this, he tells you, why does Islam allow 4 wives? So what do you want right now? And do you want to save yourself? Don't worry about the man marrying 4 wives. This is none of your business. Huh? Do you want to save yourself? I'm giving you something about salvation, about heaven and hell, about your belief, about whether Jesus died for you or not. And you're asking about a man marrying 4 wives? Trust me, we have good answers for you. But that's not, are you looking for mistakes? Or you really want to learn? You know, because some people, whenever you will corner them, they will run away and bring something new. Alatul. Never deal with something till the end. Because they never have any answer till the end. So, you know, these people, we have to be patient with them and continue to try. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their condition one day, and they will actually accept. وَلَا يَنْفَعُ أَحَدًا إِلَّا إِمَانًا وَتَقْوَىٰ. The Shaykh said, nothing will benefit a person except his belief and his piety. That's it. You are good, you do taqwa, you are piety, you are pious, righteous, then this is the only thing that will benefit you. فَاشْتِغَالُكُمْ بِهِمْ وَادْعَاءُكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ عَلَى مِلَّتِهِمْ وَالرِّضَى بِمُجَرَّدِ الْقَوْلِ أَمْرٌ فَارِغٌ لَا حَقِيقَةَ لَهُ بَلِ الْوَاجِبُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَنْظُرُوا حَالَتُكُمْ الَّتِي أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهَا هَلْ تَصْلُحُ لِلنَّجَاةِ أَمْ لَا. So the Shaykh said, so then you, the Jews, claiming that you are following the religion of Abraham and Jacob and whatever his descendants, he says, it's only a claim. It's only a claim that you are making. And you just being satisfied with that particular claim. And it is something that is empty, has no reality in it, no essence for it. It's just a claim, it's just an empty claim. He said, what is expected of you, what is compulsory upon you, is that you look into your affair. Are you really upon a religion? Forget about saying, huh? We are following. Are you really upon the religion? Are you really upon the worship of one God? Is that what you are following? Is it means of salvation, means of survival, means of success, or not? That's what they are expected to do. وَقَالُوا, verse 135,
وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ.
Abdul Aziz.
No.
135 please. Or 134, 135.
And they say, we Jews are Christians, then you will be guided. Say to them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nay, we follow, this is only the religion of Abraham, Hanif, Islamic monotheism, to worship none but Allah alone, and he was not al-Muslimun, those who worship others along with Allah.
Barakallahu feek. I da'a kullu min al-Yahudi wa al-Nasara al-Muslimina ila al-Dukhuli fi dinihim. زاعمون أنهم هم المهتدون وغيرهم ضال. The Shaykh said, so the Jews and the Christians invited the Muslims to enter into their religions, claiming that they are guided and everyone else is astray. And of course you've had this before in your life. I personally have had it many times. So much so that some of my family members who are non-Muslims from my wife's side, they came to the conclusion that we read too much. We read too much. Because of that, we are what we are today. Meaning you're supposed to remain ignorant. And you hear this statement a lot, ignorant is bliss. You've probably heard this before. Ignorant is bliss. And actually, once I was having a little discussion with some Christians through email, and a person, you know, when I started to get a little technical with them in terms of the knowledge, he replied with me in email, says, you know, Jesus said, ignorance is bliss. And I searched up the whole Bible. You know, I don't have to
to read, open a book, you go to the internet. You know, their website. Crosswalk, I think it's called crosswalk.com, whatever. It's a Bible search engine. And you have a little, you know, search box. You type the sentence, believe me, if it is there, it will give it to you. It has all the verses of the Bible. And it's interesting when you click on the thing and it goes down, you know, King James Version, American Standard Version, the New Revised Edition, the most recently revised edition. Assalamu alaikum. And so forth, you know. And there's no such statement. So I replied to this individual. I said, listen man, I don't know what kind of religion you're following where you just throw things at me. You just attribute things to Jesus as if he's your buddy. You know, you say Jesus said ignorance is bliss. I said, I did not find this in the whole Bible. Perhaps I'm searching in the wrong area. Kindly provide me with the reference. Kindly give me the reference for the statement. Since when is ignorance bliss? Since when is not knowing good? This is the probably the most false statement ever said by any human being. People never really pause to think about it. Ignorance bliss is happiness. So they say when you're ignorant, you'll be good. Subhanallah. Knowledge. Then why do people go to universities and study if ignorance is bliss? Stay at home. Have a good time at home not knowing anything. But this is nonsense anyways. So was there any reply? No reply. No reply. I didn't say anything. Ignorance is bliss, yani. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me about knowledge. I'm happy being ignorant, following my religion. But give me the reference from where you said this. No reference. No reply. So you see, it's a problem. So they say that you must follow their religion to be guided. You will not be really guided unless, you know, also some of my family members said, one day you will find Jesus. Meaning now you've lost Jesus. And you know, one day you will find him and you will come, you know, you become Christian like us. And these little statements, you know, that they throw at us every now and then, that, you know, are of Alaykum Salaam wa rahmatullah. Alaykum Salaam wa rahmatullah. Alaykum Salaam. Then they say that follow us and you will be guided. Meaning, unless you are a Jew or a Christian, you will not be guided. You are astray. Unless you follow the way of salvation as it is preached today, and we say that this is not really the case, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, really, the guidance of Allah is the guidance. Not the guidance of Paul, not the guidance of the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church or the Methodist Church or any of this. This is not the guidance. This is man-made, fabricated, home-invented teachings that have went through a lot of different people, a lot of changes, a lot of issues. All of them contradicting each other and most importantly opposing the true teachings of Jesus and the prophets and the messengers who preceded him. And I mentioned the story to you before, and there's no harm in mentioning it to you again, which is really related to this particular statement that Allah says in the Quran, and they said, be a Jew or a Christian, you will be guided. I told you this, and for those who haven't heard this before, you know the TV, they had a TV interview or whatever show, and they brought a Muslim brother, and they brought a Christian priest and a Jewish rabbi. And they put them all on TV, live TV, thousands of viewers, hundreds of thousands of viewers on live and through the television. And they said, the host of the show, he said, you know, we're bringing you here because each one of you claims that his religion is salvation, his religion will go take you to paradise. Alaykum salam. They believe in your book, in your messenger, is that which will take you to paradise. So we would like you to be able to prove that to the audience, to the viewers. How, why you believe your religion is the one that will take you and not the other two. And so they gave the rabbi, because he was the oldest, the opportunity to speak first. He said, Malish, I allow the Christian priest to go ahead and take the initiative and be the first to speak on this matter. Who in return said, Malish, let us just allow the Muslim to speak. Let the Muslim tell us why he believes that Islam and his religion will take us to paradise and we are not. So the Muslim was all confident. He said, well, if believing in Moses and the Old Testament, the Torah,
is the key to paradise, that's the key to paradise, then we Muslims are going right along with the Jews because we also believe in Moses and the Old Testament. We believe in the Torah.
No.
Then he said, if believing in Jesus, you know, of course, as the messenger of God, and the gospel, which we believe is the key to paradise, then we Muslims will also go along with the Christians to paradise because we believe in the gospel and we believe in Jesus. But if believing in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran was the key to paradise, then we Muslims are going on our own. We're going on our own. Because neither the Jews nor the Christians believe in the Quran or in the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then we are the only one who are really qualified, and the show was over. Said, okay, thank you very much. You know, they turned off the light and everybody went home. Nothing else to say. Nothing else to say. Once you reject something that was sent by God, then you are not upon the religion of God. That's it. Once someone, like the Jews did with Jesus, once they had the nerve to say that Jesus is an imposter, he's a liar, he's not a messenger of God, and his mother is a fornicator, once they had this attitude, even though they had believed in Moses and Abraham before, they became disqualified from belief because no human being has the right to tell God what to believe in and what to reject. That is not submission. Submission is when you don't negotiate, you submit. When God tells you something, you don't sit there and have a debate because this came from God. Unless you can prove otherwise. Prove it is not from God, there's room for discussion. Unfortunately, it is never proven. People don't even bother to prove. They just say, the Quran is not from Allah and Prophet is not the messenger of Allah. Prove it. No proof. And if they were to search through the proof, it will prove otherwise. They'll be able to prove nothing except that this book is from Allah. Whether, and this is obvious, whether through the scientific miracles of the Quran, the challenge that Allah gave in the Quran to produce a chapter like it, the many things that we know that no one can ever meet, that it was not available in any book. So then, this claim that follow us, you will be guided, is to be further investigated. It must be verified. Follow you upon which religion? What am I supposed to believe? If you say that I must be a Christian in order to attain salvation, you tell me what must I believe. And but make sense to me. The problem is, it doesn't make sense. Well, Jesus is God and or the Son of God. And the Holy Ghost is also a God. But see, these three gods are really one God.
It's confusing.
Very much. So is then, see, when you say that God looked at the world and he's according to them and he's seen that the people are just, you know, not doing good, and it was necessary for him to come down, according to them, to see how the people function, so he had to take a human form, in the form of Jesus, So that means that God is Jesus. So how come Jesus is the Son of God? Where did the Son come? If you say that God, Jesus is God incarnate, who came in a human form, that's one of the beliefs.
Yes.
So where did the Son come? How are you God? How are you the Father and the Son at the same time? And where was the Holy Ghost in the whole process? So then, you know, you say you want to call me to guidance, but this is not guidance. This is not guidance. This is man-made. Not just confusing is one aspect. Let's say we were to accept confusing things from God. Let's say, because we really submit to Allah, we will accept confusing things. We need what though? Textual evidence. If something was sent to you from Allah and it was confusing, does that mean that you don't accept it? You accept it if it's from Allah. The confusion, we say, must have a problem. Because some people may be confused, others may not. But this is not the point of emphasis here. We need textual evidence. For me to accept confusion, I must verify that this is truly from God. You know what I'm saying? This is when we have a problem. The only reference that is available is what? The Bible. Right or wrong? That's the only place where they can prove that this is from God. Then you prove from the Bible that everything that they're teaching is unavailable. And that it is not the case. So now, setting aside confusion, textually, through the textual evidence, it is very easy to prove that what is being taught about the Trinity and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit as being one God is something that is unavailable in the Bible. Clear like the sun. They say that Jesus and God are equal. They say they're equal, right? They're equal God. She says Jesus said the Father is the Father is greater than I. The Father is greater. You know greater? Ayyu Akbar. Huh? Greater. Three is greater than one. So Jesus says the Father is greater than I. You tell me he's equal to him. I need to understand this before I move on to anything, my friend. I need to understand. Really, I want to understand.
What?
How?
What's the verse of this in the Bible? I
don't know the reference, but I will get it for you. Call me, inshallah. How is that? How do I bring the relation between the statement of Jesus and your statement? If Jesus said that, you know, the Father and I are equal, I would say, Tayyibha, we will verify authenticity of this verse. But you say, Jesus said the Father, he said, I of myself, in John chapter 5 verse 30, he said, I of myself can do nothing. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of he who sent me. Ishhada. God can do nothing of himself? God is unable to do something? And you say he's equal to God. He is divine like God. How can he not do? Have you ever seen a God who cannot do anything? Then we say, look, we have a problem here.
That's why it's confusing.
That's why we're saying it's confusing. Because of the textual evidences. So then we say, listen, this is not guidance. This is, I appreciate your sincerity towards helping me and giving me what you have. Wallah, I appreciate it. But allow me to give you the truth. If you really want to deal with the truth, then I know where the truth is and I can give it to you. The same way you intend to be a source of guidance for me, allow me to be a source of guidance for you. Let us evaluate the teachings that I follow and the teachings that you follow and see which one is from God. And we will be able to prove to them from every Islamic conception that we have, we will find a reference for it in the Bible. We really don't need that, but subhanAllah, by the wisdom of Allah, even from the book that we don't know whether you follow in the Catholic one that has 73 books or the Protestant that has 66 books, regardless of this major discrepancy, we will say, still everything that we learn in Islam, I will find you a reference from your own resource. And you will find that every teaching that they teach goes against the statements of Jesus. Everything that is taught on behalf of Jesus today, you will find a quotation said by Jesus in the Bible that opposes the church. So it is always like the church and Jesus are having a battle. There's a competition. And Jesus says something and they say something on his behalf. Huh? In Matthew chapter 19 verses 16 and 17, and the same incident was recorded in Mark chapter 10 verse 17. When a man came to Jesus and told him, "Oh good master, oh good teacher, what shall I do to enter the eternal life?" We will give you two answers. A church answer and a Jesus answer, which is an Islamic answer. The answer of Jesus is the same as Islam. The answer of the church is against Jesus and against Islam. Jesus told him, actually before, what was Jesus supposed to say? The man told him, "Oh good master, what shall I do to enter eternal life?" Eternal life, we said, is salvation. The only way you have eternal life is when you're in paradise. The only way you enter paradise is through salvation. No paradise without salvation. According to the church today, regardless of the denomination, Jesus should have told him first, when he told him, "Good master," he should have told him, "I am good." Fair enough? I'm equal to God, or I am the Son of God. I am the divine Son of God. I am the begotten, beloved Son of God. I am good. You see, goodness is something that we human beings should not attribute to ourselves, but something that God cannot, that God will ever attribute to himself. Because God, humbleness is not a characteristic of God. It is a characteristic of the human being. You are humble. When somebody tells you, praise you, you put yourself down. But can God be humble? The powerful, the majestic, the almighty, the great? No humbleness there. You see what I'm saying? So here Jesus
When the man told him, good master, if he's God, there's no room for humbleness there. There must be the authority. I am good. I am the son of God. Maybe. That's what the church teaches today. Then he should have told him, if you want to enter the eternal life, if you want salvation, then believe that I will die for you. Huh? Accept me as your personal savior. My blood will be shed on the cross for you. You believe, you will enter the eternal life. Isn't that what the church teaches today? Yes. That's exactly what they teach today. And if somebody said otherwise, they're lying. Because that's what they teach. At the end of the day, this is the whole life. Jesus is divine in some way or form, and you will only enter paradise through belief in this Jesus as your personal savior. That's it. That's what the whole religion is actually based on. This is the foundation of the religion. So we say, again, you are teaching statements that oppose Jesus in the Bible. Jesus in the Bible told the man, why do you call me good? So as one of the du'at said, if he refused to be called good with two O's, how are you going to call him God with one O? He said, why do you call me good? The only one who's good is the one God. This is Islam or not? Islam. Is this what the church teaches today? No. They say Jesus is all good. Jesus is God. And actually the Father is almost absent. And the Father has nothing to do with the church. He's just there to create. Otherwise everything is Jesus, 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 Jesus. The whole thing is Jesus. Nobody really is a significant figure in the Trinity. The Holy Ghost, only whenever they're misguided, they say it was the Holy Ghost who guided me. And he didn't guide them for anything. It was the shayateen who were taking them from left and right. But they use him accordingly. Conveniently, the Holy Ghost comes into the picture whenever needed. The Father is just in the background, an old man, huh? An old man who created everything, and he just the loving Father in heaven. But really, the whole focus is on who? Jesus. And Jesus was teaching this man, listen man, don't transgress. Huh? Don't cross the limits. Don't call me good. The only one who's good is the one God. Huh? No humbleness. Humbleness. Because he's a human being. Although we know that he's good. Wasn't Jesus good? You better believe he was good. If you don't believe he's good, you're not a Muslim. He was good. But not in the ultimate sense, as the man may have intended when he told him, good master. So Jesus made the correction. Then Jesus told him, regarding the answer, to answer his question, if you want to enter into the eternal life, what did he say? Death, the crucifixion, he said, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. What are the commandments? Do's and don'ts. Things you have to do, not faith. Are the commandments faith? Thou shalt not. Is that faith? Or that's action? Action. Things you have to do. So what is this concept that I don't have to do anything because Jesus fulfilled it for me? I believe in him, I'm going to paradise. And he said, if you want to enter into the eternal life, you must keep the commandments. And what is the commandment according to Jesus? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you should love the Lord your God. Not Jesus, not me, not you should love me and the Holy Ghost and God, the Father. You should love my mother, you should love the Pope. None of that stuff. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That is Islam. That is Islam in the Bible. That is Islam preached by Jesus. But then they will grab a statement and they will throw it in the ocean. They will tell you, but Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, or I don't know who, Reverend who said, and so forth. He said, I tell you, Jesus said, and you tell me, and you say you follow Jesus? So we Muslims believe, we take the statements of Jesus seriously. He said that? MashaAllah, this sounds good to me. So I'm living it in Islam. But you say that you're following him and you are opposing him. He tells you that he is not good, you say he's God. He tells you you want salvation, keep the commandments, you say he died for me. So then, this claim of theirs, be a Jew or a Christian, you will be guided, is nonsensical. You will never be guided. If you want to go astray, become a Jew or a Christian or a Hindu or a Buddhist or an atheist or an agnostic or any of the isms in the world. If you want to go astray, go ahead and leave Islam. I'm not telling anyone to leave Islam. But if someone wants to go to the hellfire, you have hundreds of roads. Hundreds of roads. All of them are giving you shortcut. Shortcut to the hellfire. One way ticket to the hellfire. But if you want to go to paradise, then you must abandon all of these facts, all of these false man-made religions. And you follow the religion of Abraham and Moses and Jesus and the Prophet Muhammad SAW and every prophet and messenger who came before. One path that leads to Allah. And this is what we are supposed to be traveling upon and calling the people to. Yes, Ja Abdul.
I have a question. I mean, something clarification here.
Yes.
Regarding Salah. The reward in Salah in Al-Haram, if you are non-resident, is 100,000 times, right?
Not if you are non-resident. Period.
That is okay.
And the Masjid Al-Haram, 100,000 prayers.
100,000 prayers. There is one brother, he claims to be Muslim, or Muslim, yani. One of our brothers, he asked that how is the reward in Salah in Al-Haram? So we answered that 100,000 times. So it means if I do Salah one time in Al-Haram, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me this reward 100,000 times, there's no need to pray in the masjid or pray in part prayer
for the rest of his life.
For the rest of his life, because he cannot reach this.
Beautiful.
Even you're 50 years old praying in the masjid, praying in Yamana.
You know how you can answer this?
This is brother Muslim, huh?
I know. There's a very interesting way to deal with this. Huh? And really this, yani, you can go on, you can give many different explanations, but this is like a
specific explanation. To
you want specific, I'll give you the general one first, which is basically called counter-questioning. Whenever somebody gives you this kind of paradox, this question that is, you know, is strange in its format and it's difficult to, you know, try to make it difficult for you, you give them a counter-question. You say, okay, you're saying that if you pray one prayer, then that will suffice, you don't have to do the rest of the prayers. So you tell him, do you have any receipt that that prayer was accepted by Allah?
No.
Case closed. How do you know? What if you prayed and Allah didn't accept? And you depended on the Salah, you stopped doing Salah, and then you came on the Day of Judgment with nothing? That's one way, although the answer should not be this way. This is only to let him realize that no one will praise himself to believe that the Salah was accepted. In reality, we say, how do you think you are submitted to Allah? Is this a way to deal with your Creator? Is this a love that you have for Allah? That you think you are bargaining? Huh? You're doing some business transactions where you, like, you know, this is how the merchants trick one another. Form of deceiving. So they say, I'm going to do this, you know, now, and then I don't have to do this for the rest of my life. How do you know that you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will even accept your prayer? If you leave the salah, you become a disbeliever. So you tell him that your deeds will be void. As soon as you stop doing the salah, you have left Islam, the salah in the haram that you had will be voidless. So then,
meaning we cannot bargain our obligatory prayer.
Absolutely not, Yasir. I tell him this is just means of encouraging you to get more reward. Not for you to become philosophical here, come tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you think, I mean, do you think on the Day of Judgment Allah is gonna, these things will you know, astaghfirullah. Imagine how you're gonna tell on the Day of Judgment, well, I prayed one in the haram, so I thought that I don't need to pray any other prayers anymore. So as soon as you stop praying and you're no longer a Muslim, then all of your deeds are void. All of your deeds, including the one in the haram, is of no value. You must continue to do salah willingly, not because you're forced. This is an indication that this person's iman is not really sound. Allah musta'an. So let's finish this verse and then we'll finish the dars inshallah, so we can move on to verse 136 next week. Al-Muhim. So they said that coming to our religion you'll be guided and everybody else is astray. Qul, say to them, this is Allah telling the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say to the Jews and the Christians, قُلْ لَهُ مُجِيبًا جَوَابًا شَافِيًا. Say to them with this satisfactory answer, this complete answer, بَلْ نَتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Nay, but we will follow the religion or the way of Abraham, who was Hanif, on the straight path. He was not
astray. A, ay mukbilan ala Allah, meaning he was always yearning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mu'ridan amma siwa, turning away from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qa'iman bitawheed, establishing tawheed, the oneness of Allah in his life. Tarikan lishirk, abandoning disbelief and ascribing partners to Allah. Wa tandeed, and making equals to Allah. فَهَذَا الَّذِي فِتِّبَاعَهُ الْهِدَايَةِ. In that, only in that, if you follow, you will receive guidance. If you follow this way of Ibrahim, which is only done by the Muslims, worshipping Allah alone, not worshipping any others with Allah, huh? Establishing Tawheed is the quality of a believer, the Muslim only. And that is Hidayah, that is guidance. وَفِي الْإِعْرَاضِ عَمْ مِلَّتِهِ الْكُفْرُ وَالْغِوَايَةِ. And in turning away from the way of Abraham is disbelief and transgression. So following Ibrahim is Islam. Following other than Ibrahim is disbelief. If you were to evaluate all the religions today according to the teachings of Abraham, you will find that only the Muslims are establishing the same things that were established by him as instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. And so we conclude this particular dars with this ayah. And inshallah ta'ala, next week, if we all remain alive, we'll be dealing with verse 136. Says, say we believe in Allah and what has been sent down upon us. Dealing with the belief, how we Muslims believe in every previous scripture, that whether preserved, those which have not been preserved, we believe in them. We believe in Jesus, Moses, and the rest. And inshallah we'll postpone this, the elaboration to next week. هذا والله تعالى أعلم. الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.